All right, good morning. Thank you for sharing for the kids, Whitney. We appreciate that you might encourage us through your scriptures. I ask you to be with us this morning, Lord, and do just that. Amen. So I'm going to read a verse, and it's from Proverbs 17:28, and it says this in one of the versions. It says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding." Or some says, "When a fool doesn't speak, he's counted as wise." So I was thinking, why is that? Why is it when a man doesn't speak, people think that he's wise or perceptive, some versions say? Because a man's words reveal something. They reveal what's going on in his head and in his heart. Agreed? Words allow us to see and understand the things that we can't see and understand. Make sense? Is pursuing things like that. Another verse is in Matthew 12:34. It says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." In other words, once again, the words that come out of our mouth are revealing what's going on the inside. So it says God doesn't judge according to outward appearance, whereas men, we often do, and we shouldn't. We can look at people and we assume certain things, but what really matters is what's going on in the inside, what's going on here. And we know we're smart enough that we're in the right company, the right crowd. We can be careful to speak a certain way for a while. But often under pressure, under different situations, or if you spend enough time with someone, eventually their passions will come out. What they're thinking about is going to come out, etc. And so the words will help us understand, right, what's going on the inside. So let's turn to John 1. This is where in John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So many of us know that when it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," that it's speaking about Jesus. But I guess the question is, why did the Holy Spirit cause John to write this epistle and use the word Word for Jesus? Because Jesus came, right? And we kind of get the new covenant through him, and the New Testament is talking about when Jesus came. But he used the word for Jesus for a reason. And if we keep reading, I think we're going to see why. Let's maybe jump down to verse 11. It says, "He came to his own," that is Jesus, right? This is who John is testifying of, this light who is Jesus. "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him," right? He came to the Jews, and for the most part, they didn't receive him. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's interesting. The Word became flesh. It is Jesus. This Word is Jesus. He became flesh. He was with God, right? With the Father, way back in creation. He was there. Nothing was made without him. But yet he became flesh. He chose to humble himself and come as a man on the earth. He came as a baby first, and he grew up and became a man. But he came in the flesh. He dwelt among us, it says, and we beheld his glory. We got to see his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. the glory that he had as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus, he came to represent the Father, full of grace and truth. Under the old covenant, there wasn't grace. He came and he brought this revelation of grace. Grace and truth. And it was the glory of God. He came to reveal the glory of God. So why did he use the word? Because he wanted to be able to help us understand who God is. He sent his son to the earth. He came as a man so that we could see, we could behold him, and we could get an understanding of who the Father is. Right? Remember, it's the words that reveal the parts of the heart and the mind that we don't understand about people. But by their words, you start to get a glimpse of what's going on the inside. In the same way, God the Father, he was seemed like he was far off, but he sent his son that we might get an understanding of who he was. So he's like the word. I really like that. When I read them, like, that really confirmed and gave more understanding to me. I'm going to go here and keep reading verse 15. It says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus came to declare the Father to us. It says it here in Hebrews 1, verse 3 as well. Very similar. It says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, express or exact image of his person. Jesus is the exact image of the Father. So God sent him so that you and I might know who this Heavenly Father is. That's interesting, the express image, right, of his person. He wanted us to know God. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we could actually get to know him for who he is. No one had seen God at any time, but he sent his son to explain him, it says in another version, to explain the Father to us. So that's important, because many people have misperceptions of who God is. I think Whitney read it in the book. Some people think of God this way or that way. Some think of him as being really harsh. They have different perceptions. Some people have grown up with fathers that maybe didn't treat them that well, and they think of the Father the same way. But there's a great question, I think, that we have to ask people is, who is Jesus? When you look at what we know about who Jesus is he the same way you think of the Heavenly Father? Because he should be. But for some people, they think of God the Father as being this harsh person. But they see Jesus and they see that he was compassionate. They see that he had time for those that were struggling and weak. He would spend time with them for a purpose because he wanted to help them get out of those situations. Right? That's the same heart as the Father. Jesus came to explain the Father to us. When you're struggling and we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, God. He's a father. He's not a harsh, but he's a father. We're praying to someone who's compassionate. We're praying to someone who wants to help us. I was encouraged by that. And so we can see in the old covenant, when we think of the glory of God, we often think of brightness, bright shining light. Almost afar off. That's the picture we often get. We think of Moses going up on the mountain to talk with God. He would get given the Ten Commandments on stone. He would go and talk with God. But he would come down the mountain. It says the people were exceedingly afraid and trembling because he was shining so bright because he'd been in the presence of God. And it says not only that, it says here in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to turn there, I think, chapter 3. I'll read in verse 7. But it says, if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So there's talking about the ministry of the old covenant and the new. The old covenant had a glory, so much so that when Moses was even in God's presence, his face was shining. But yet, and the people could not look steadily at it, it says. But it says this glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation, that is the law, had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So there's the glory of the old covenant. There's also the glory of the new covenant. Two glories. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Why do we have such hope? Because we have a far better glory. The other glory was a passing away glory, but the glory we have should be an ever-increasing glory. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. In other words, when he would come down the mountain, right, he came out of the presence of God, his face was shining. But as he was out of God's presence, his face would shine less and less. That's the old. But in the new, it's a different kind of glory. It's not about a bright light. We might have a good countenance, but it's not a shining bright light. It's a different kind of glory. What is the glory of the new covenant? John 1, I'm going to go right back there. Verse 14 says, and the word, that is Jesus, he became flesh and dwelt among us, that we beheld his glory. What is this glory? Verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The very life that is the glory of God. What kind of life was it? It says it's an indestructible life, it's described. It's an unending life. It's a life that is unending. It's the life of God, and it was in Jesus Christ. And when he was walking on the earth, it says they beheld it. They got to observe and see the very life of God walking among them. That is the glory of the new covenant. And that glory isn't just going to be when Jesus was on earth. But where is it supposed to be today? It's supposed to be in us. Just like Jesus would go into God's presence, now the very presence of God is supposed to be in us. And his very life should be radiating out of us. Just like the disciples got an opportunity to see God. He's called the Word, Jesus. They got to observe him. Now it says that God now writes his life in men. And we become living epistles. People are now going to be reading us. Just like they were reading Jesus walking, now people are supposed to be reading us as we're walking our lives right here in Abbotsford. Are you an epistle of Jesus? Are people seeing God Almighty by the way covenant? And we have great hope, because though maybe we stumbled yesterday, we don't have to stumble the same way today, but rather we can represent him better and better day by day. Do you see the difference? One was a passing away, but one is an ever increasing. So if we go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 13 again. So unlike Moses, right? We have great boldness unlike Moses. Why? He put a veil over his face in verse 13 so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, unlike Moses, we have an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed of Jesus, who is the express image, the exact image of our Heavenly Father. That is the image that we're being conformed into from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's going to happen by the Holy Spirit as we yield our lives, our will to the Spirit. He's going to conform us into the same image so that when we walk our lives out, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the grocery store or at work, at class, on the baseball team, people should be reading us. Just like the Word became flesh, now we are supposed to be those living epistles that people are reading, and they should get a glimpse of who our Heavenly Father is. And when I read this and was pondering it, it caused there to be some self-reflection. Is my life increasing in the nature of Jesus? Because we want to look into the Word of God, and we want to see Jesus in the Scriptures. We should be asking, God, open my eyes that I can get a further understanding of who Jesus is. How did he live his life? What kind of attitudes did he have? He exhorts us really clearly in some passages, right? He considered others as more better than himself. He would associate with the humble, right? He'd associate with the lowly, with those that are struggling. He came for them, right? We should be looking out for those kind of people. Lord, who can I encourage this day? Do you ever think of that? That every day God has a plan for you. It doesn't matter whether we're 10 or whether we're 50 or if we're 80. It doesn't matter. God has a plan for us. He wants to use us, right, to bring glory to his name, right, to represent him in all that we do, say, and think. That gives purpose to every day. Like, what is your purpose for the day? I, if it is just to go to work and make money, it's so empty. It is so empty. It's so monotonous. It's so repetitive. But do we realize God has a plan for me for this day? When I have that renewed mindset, it gives purpose to every day. When we get up in the morning, we say, Lord, what is your will today for me? Lord, open doors, close doors, lead and direct me. Help me to be sensitive, right? Help my ears to be open to your promptings, and let me be willing to go and see those people. Take time to encourage someone, help someone. Sometimes it's very simple, but are we willing to do it? Because often there's a little yielding of our will that is required, right? Anyways, it gives purpose to every day. And so I guess I just wanted to be encouraged for a couple things. Number one, let's look in the Scriptures to see who Jesus is. What is his nature? What is his character? Because that is the nature and character we should be being conformed into. And the second was, be a little bit reflective. Are we growing in his nature? Are we the same as we were last year? Or are we less like Jesus than last year? We should be more like Jesus, right? It says, from glory to glory, into the same image. And that is what I was pondering. It caused me to be self-reflective a little bit. Lord, I want to be growing. I don't want to be some under this old covenant thing that's passing away, but I want to be under the new covenant where the glory of God should be increasing in my life.